You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
This podcast is brought to you by Voyage AC.
So, I have a small challenge.
How can I help, honey?
Well, August is a big birthday month, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I need to get two friends of mine birthday gifts, but I don't know if I should get them the same thing.
So, what are your choices?
Well, I was thinking of the Saint-Tropez highball candle because not only is it elegant, but it smells so good. Mm-hmm. But I was also thinking about that gorgeous Minoy shimmer oil that makes people want to reach out and touch my skin. What do you think?
I don't think you can go wrong with anything from Voyage AC.
You got that right, hon. That's because Voyage AC has it all. Go online right now and check out their beautiful candles, incredible fragrances, fabulous beachwear, and gorgeous face and body products. So, hon, how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VOYAGEETCIE.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now. That's 10% off everything you buy.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
Hi, as Scott said, this is on my nightstand, and I am Laura Cathcart Robbins. If you've been listening to the podcast, you have heard me say more than once that all roads lead to Sarah Dean. Sarah Dean is an incredible podcaster. She has the Shameless Mom podcast. She hosts the Shameless Mom Convention every year, where I've been an opening keynote speaker and just a speaker and a participant. She was one of our first guests. She was in our third season. The only one who couldn't have a baby. That's episode 22. Then she reappeared in the Now Normal series in July of 2020, which we re-released for Women's Empowerment Month earlier this year. So definitely listen to those episodes or listen to her podcast, like I said, the Shameless Mom podcast. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit more about her. After enduring a long infertility journey and then a full-blown identity crisis following the birth of her son, Sarah took her background in psychology, health, and wellness and rebuilt her identity one step at a time. Today, Sarah motivates and inspires women to stop shrinking and start growing in every aspect of their lives. She is on a mission to inspire women and moms in particular to live a bigger, bolder, braver, hashtag every damn day. So yeah, that is who Sarah is. That really embodies what she does. I heard this piece at a storytelling show. You can hear that I go to a lot of those, and it just knocked my socks off. I was laughing so hard. I don't know if I'll be able to do it the justice that she did, but I'm going to definitely try. The title of this essay is called "I Thought Home Birth Was an Awesome Idea Until I Was 1 centimeter Dilated." I'm an overachiever. I don't tell you this to brag, but rather to help you understand this affliction that I have to make things much harder than they need to be. If I'm being honest, it's exhausting, and it causes a lot of undue pain. As was the case when I opted to have an unmedicated home birth. From the time I found out I was pregnant, I thought a home birth was a brilliant idea. It was a chance to take something that everyone told me was awful and excruciating and do it better. Sign me up. My pregnancy was uneventful, low risk, and fairly run-of-the-mill, albeit full of nauseousness that routinely completely overwhelmed me. But I didn't see this as a red flag to my ability to handle discomfort. At 34 weeks, my doctor sent me home with a list of items to procure for our home birth. The list included a variety of things like a plastic bedsheet, extra towels, pads, etc. There were some other items that I interpreted to be optional, things that perhaps only more delicate patients would need. I was not delicate. I did not complete the list. At 39 weeks, my water broke at 4:30 a.m. on a Sunday. Within a couple of hours, I was certain that this birth was imminent. I called my doctor and asked her to come right over. I wanted to make sure she had plenty of time to set up the home birth tub that we paid an extra $300 for. I was eager to climb in since I had a very mistaken notion that being in water allowed for a pain-free birth experience. My doctor came over to find me in the earliest stages of labor. I told her that I was definitely further along than she thought. She pretended to agree with me. A few weeks prior, I shared with my doctor that I finished reading all my books on home births and hypnobirthing. I was educated and ready. My husband and I had completed our childbirth classes for parents, planning for out-of-the-hospital births, including watching a series of 17 home birth videos. At the risk of sounding judgy, the women in these videos did not have their shit together. From their yodeling to barbaric screaming to pooping in birth tubs with their partners floating beside them, I knew I could do it all much better. Armed with my master's degree in home birthing and a deep confidence in my threshold for pain, I told my doctor I was prepared for whatever might come my way. In the last few years, I had run a marathon, done tons of triathlons, hiked the Inca Trail, and then laid 1,000 square feet of flooring at 38 weeks pregnant. Childbirth had nothing on me. Until I was about 1 centimeter dilated. From the moment my contractions began, I knew I had made the worst decision of my life. In those first few hours, I kept a fastidious watch on my contraction app. The best way to ease the mind of an anxiety-prone control freak? Give her some metrics to track. Between tracking my contractions, I shifted my body constantly trying to find the quote-unquote comfortable position to labor in. I eventually settled on all fours, thinking I would hang out doggy style for the duration. When I proudly told my doctor that I found my comfortable laboring position, she told me I had chosen the one that was least likely to progress my labor. That's the worst thing to tell an overachiever, because I had mentally turned this birth into a competitive event. I asked her what positions would speed things up. She told me that I needed to get into more squatting-like positions to move the baby down the birth canal. I forgot to mention at the time of this birth, I was a personal trainer. I owned a gym. I knew how to squat like a mother. I squatted through one contraction and absolutely knew I would die. Words cannot explain the sensations I experienced as my entire body felt like it might rip open and fall out on the floor. But because this was now a competitive event, I kept squatting. In our bedroom, in the shower, on the toilet, I squatted through contraction after contraction, full of rage, because no one told me labor was basically a series of CrossFit workouts. It had also become abundantly clear that hypnobirthing was bullshit. Every few hours, my doctor checked in to see how I was dilating. Every time, I expected to be awarded with something like, "You're working so hard, and it really shows. You've made much progress. You're the best birther I've ever seen." But instead, it was more like, "Well, things aren't moving along too quickly just yet. Let's just keep at it." Over time, I started considering that perhaps I knew better than my doctor about what was best for me. Perhaps I would never progress. Perhaps I needed to be transported to the hospital straight away. Perhaps it was time to cut this baby out of me right now. It seemed like it might be in the best interest of the baby to move this situation to the hospital. I mean, I'm not a quitter, but I was open to all options here as long as they included drugs. Sadly, my doctor thought staying home would be the best course and made most sense, and would allow me to honor my birth plan. Fucking birth plan. About 10 hours in, I found myself barfing and delirious on all fours in the middle of my bed, in Depends and a tank top, paralyzed with pain. I fantasized of ENTs coming to rescue me and pumping me full of oxy, morphine, meth, anything. I did have a brief moment of gratitude that I had gone against my better judgment and purchased the Depends recommended on the list, as my body leaked all kinds of fluids and goo. In between fantasizing about how I could get my doctor to call 911 for me, I worried about my dog panting beside me. My house was full of medical professionals whom were most certainly waiting for me to be a better hostess and offer them snacks, and my neighbors could definitely hear me screaming bloody murder. I also knew deep down that I would be the first woman ever to die of pain in childbirth. Over the course of that day, I ruined my relationship with my toilet and my shower, as they both betrayed me over and over, pretending they could offer comfort and then only providing more pain. At some point, I started yodeling. Then came the barbaric sounds. I repeatedly and unsuccessfully willed myself to be more like the silent birther Katie Holmes type of laborer. After what felt like many hours, the $300 birthing tub was finally full enough for me to get in. I was so excited to finally get some respite. I climbed in and panicked as my pain was not relieved. I was immediately pissed by yet another betrayal and wanted a full birth tub refund. Moments later, I pooped in the tub, with my husband sitting beside me, in the tub. I remembered the weird fishnet I'd opted not to purchase on the list. Crap. My eyes were closed the entire time I was in that tub, because somehow keeping them closed made the pain less real. But for a very brief moment, I opened one eye only to see my doctor's assistant using my favorite colander to scoop my poop out of the tub. I immediately squeezed my eyes shut again to erase the image. I was officially the crazy, yodeling, pooping, home birth lady, and every shred of decency I'd ever had in my life had been fully stripped. At 14 hours, my son arrived. As far as my home birth team was concerned, my birth was as easy as they come. I spent the next few weeks enduring PTSD flashbacks every time I stepped into my shower or sat on my toilet. Natural childbirth is perhaps the best medicine to humble an overachiever. If you think you can do it, and do it all better than everyone else, I'd invite you to push a baby out of your vagina without any drugs. And if you decide to go this route, definitely spring for the fishnet. On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world, in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.